Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. More than a feeling, Jesus said it in his word. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Welcome and good evening. I'm so glad to be with you here again another week. It means we made it through another week of obstacles, trials, joys, setbacks. We are here because we did not give up. We trusted in the hand of God to get us from one moment to the next, and so we can rejoice in that. This show is about just touching on the fact that we are overcomers despite what we are facing in our everyday lives. And Dr. Maurice Lee, who's here tonight as our guest, he has experienced so many various life experiences that he's going to share some of them with us: peer pressure, depression, suicide. And the beauty of it all is that he is here as the man God designed him to be so that he can share with all of you. He is author, singer, actor, philanthropist, and pharmaceuticalist. Dr. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, absolutely. It was quite a mouthful in terms of getting out all of the different titles there, and I know there's some more that I actually missed. But amongst all of them, I know that the philanthropy is near and dear to your heart. And it's very important, and I want you to kind of get that out at the top and talk about where that stems from and why is it important to you to give back.
Sure. I guess you're referencing the M.A. Lee Scholarship Fund, which is an initiative that was birthed out of me back in 2006 to commemorate my 30th birthday. During that time, I began to reflect on life and began to understand that it was a blessing to be able to grace the earth for 30 years. And so I thought about some of my friends who had not had the opportunity to make it to 30 years of life. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to celebrate it. I wanted to do it differently. I didn't want it to be solely about celebrating me, but I wanted it to be about celebrating how God can create a path for you in order to be able to assist others. And so I thought about the time that I was attending South Carolina State University and the hardships that I endured during that time from a financial standpoint.
Right.
And I said, well, if we're going to celebrate, let's celebrate for a cause. And so what I did was I decided to invite as many individuals as I possibly could and charge them $30 to attend.
Okay.
And I took the revenue from the ticket sales to give out scholarships. And so on that night, we raised enough money to award 13 students with scholarships as they were about to embark upon college. And so it is so near and dear to me. We have been doing this now for 9 years. We are about to embark upon our 10th year.
Wonderful.
And it is so, thank you, it is so near and dear to me because, number one, I understand how students can end up dropping out of college or become distracted from not being able to pursue their college degree because of the lack of finances. I see it happen all the time. A lot of people will start college, but they won't finish. And like I said, a lot of it is because of the financial aspect. And so being one of those students who had to sleep on floors and utilize other people's meal cards just to be
right,
able to
survive.
Right, we're
going to cheer on that in a little bit, yeah.
Yes, I definitely understand. And so that's how this whole MLE scholarship fund cultivated, and it's near and dear to me because I easily reflect on that moment when I was
right.
in that moment.
So
and
let's
so,
talk about that a little bit. I want to kind of travel back in time, if you will, because I think most of the people who come to an understanding of a pay it forward concept have been through something themselves that makes it so pressing that they cannot move forward in life without giving back in some way. So talk to me about your beginnings, your family, what was your childhood like? You know, just tell us who you were.
Well, you know, growing up, I thought that I was one of the richest kids in America, to be honest with you. And I say that because my family, they provided everything that I needed and also everything that I wanted. And so I never really even realized that we were poor at that time.
Wow.
And I guess because now that I can think about it, you know, I was enriched and blessed with love, basically. That's what they were really showing was love. And, of course, you know, there's no price. It's priceless when you're talking about love.
Absolutely.
And so right, so growing up, you know, I really had a great childhood. I mean, my family, you know, they were there. They were always present. They always instilled great morals and values in me. And my mom, she was a single mother.
Okay.
When I was born, she was still in high school, and then she went off to college. So I was left with my grandmother, and so she had a strong hand in raising me a lot.
Okay.
Along with her sisters and my dad's sisters as well, they actually helped to raise me. So I had a very, very strong foundation, very structured and very centered. And growing up, I was just always that little child that was very precocious. always, you know, I was into things, always in adult conversations. So I think I grew faster than most of my other cousins because I was always involved with adults. And, you know, growing up, you know, I just studied a lot. I read a lot. I always knew that I wanted to be something in the health profession.
Okay.
And, yeah, so, you know, it's just I just really had a great childhood. I really did. I was given everything that a child could need in order to be able to survive.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and a child's heart is so precious that they really aren't attached to things as much as we think they are. I'm thinking about my son. I'm also, you know, a mom. I have two girls and a boy. My son's off at college now, but one of the earliest anxiety attacks I had was when I couldn't get him anything for his birthday, and he was like 3 years old, and he said, all I want is a cake. You know, in his mind, that was like the greatest thing on earth would be for mom to bake him a cake. And I remember struggling to get the ingredients to put this cake together. And when I revealed it to him, he looked at it, and he's like, Mommy, that's the most beautiful cake I've ever seen. And it's just the thankfulness of a child, you know, you don't need all the bells and the whistles that sometimes we get caught up in. And you really felt that you had a very rich, loving childhood, which you did, but the finances weren't necessarily there. And you're ambitious, and here you are. You want to go on to college. You want to be in the medical field. Talk to us about when that time came and what are some of the challenges that you faced or your mom faced even in terms of helping you reach that goal.
Well, when I embarked into college, which was back in 1994, my first year, it was a wonderful year. Received a lot of awards for my grades and things of that nature. And everything just seemed to be right. everything was just going just as smoothly as it could possibly go. But then somewhere around the second year of college, that's when reality began to set in. And that's when, during that time, I understood that for the first time, we really were poor, to be honest with you. And during that time, the government or the IRS began to garnish my mom's check. And so she was bringing home $60 a week. And if you can imagine a woman trying to manage a household with $60 a week, and at that time, my brother, my younger brother, youngest brother, he was, you know, kind of young. So she was trying to manage a household, be able to take care of him, and at the same time, slip me $20 here and there so that I could somewhat survive in school. And that was very disheartening to witness your mom go through that. For someone who you had always looked up to and admired, and then now you're seeing that she's going through what at that time was a huge trial for the family, and it was a huge setback for the family as well. But by the grace of God, you know, he kept us going. He made ways that seemed to be impossible. And needless to say, you know, we are still here. We are still here. But it was definitely a rough time for us. And it allowed me to put things into perspective. And I was able to see how my mom struggled. And quickly, I said, you know, I have to fight harder in school because my grades have started to drop as well. I pledged Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And as you know, when you become a part of the Greek life, you become grown. And you want to party, you want to do the things that big boys do. But I was not yet a big boy. I was still a little boy because my grades were suffering. I had not had my priorities in order. And so I had to quickly change my mindset. I had to quickly change who I was at the time in order to become who I needed to be.
Well, when we come back, we're going to listen to a little bit more of that, because there is something to be said about being young, gifted, and Black, and there is a way to negotiate that and navigate that, and I want to hear more from you when we return. There's a million Donny Hathaway, Young, Gifted, and Black, and it reminds me of so much of what's going on in the news today. We're losing so many of our young men to violence and drug and jail, and it doesn't have to be that way because they are indeed young and gifted, and so they can succeed, they can progress despite the challenges that they face, and we are here tonight with Dr. Lee, who's sharing with us his own story. When he was in college and the challenges that he faced and beyond. And so I want to come back to where we left off, you know, this concept of thinking that you're grown, but you have to have your responsibilities, you have to have things in order. And at the same time, college is very stressful. And on top of just the academics, you have this financial piece that's coming to you where you're, you know, sleeping on friends' floors or borrowing from their meal plan. So I'm curious to know, what about you? How were you handling all of that emotionally?
You know, it was hard. I will be honest with you. It was definitely hard. And I think for a moment I became envious of some of my friends because they came from two-parent homes. They had parents that were providing them with money and cars and different things. And I began to look at them, and I even began to question God. I was like, okay, now, you know, I've been brought up in church. I go to church all the time, and I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. Why is it that I have to go through this? And so I think some of that began to affect my mental capacity as well. And so I think that's why I sort of reacted the way that I did and started to do some of the things that I should not have done and some of the things that I was brought up not to do. And for a long time, it really weighed on me emotionally and even physically. I remember, you know, I lost a lot of weight. I was just very stressed out because I just could not wrap my head around things. I could not understand why I was actually going through those things when I thought I did everything right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you had a real relationship with the Lord at this point as you were approaching college, right? You went in with a relationship with the Lord.
Oh, most definitely. Always had a relationship. I always felt that I had a connection with God, and I always felt that he was present. That was one thing that I always felt. I used to always have these dreams and visions, that things that God would show me even at a very young age. So I always had that relationship with him, and still to this day I do. But during that time, I didn't even think that there. I did. I wavered a little bit. I did.
So
and
where did that lead you? I mean, did you end up spiraling out of control? What was going on?
You know what? It wasn't out of control, I would say, because I still had control of it. That's the good thing about it. I still had control, and I knew how far to take it. And one thing about my mom, she has a relationship with God, too, and she could sense when I was actually going just a little too far.
Right.
And she would always give me a word, and she would always say something that I didn't think that she knew, but she knew. And so that quickly led me to believe that God was speaking to her and through her. And so I'm grateful that he did not allow me to go too far and that he always allowed me to control the thoughts and control the actions in my mind before they became too catastrophic.
In terms of thoughts and actions, you know, when we're going through very highly pressured situations, there are moments, I've been there a couple of times, when you think about just ending it all, that you just can't make it through this life, that it, you know, just time to press that button and check out. Did you have an experience like that?
I did, but mine came earlier on in life. Mine came during the time that I was in high school.
Okay.
And during that time, I call those my dark years, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Because during that time, I felt like no one cared. I felt like no one even loved me. And I had broken out in these cystic acne bumps all over my face. And if you can imagine going through high school, people can be very cruel. And so they used to say some of the meanest things to me. And so all of that was just weighing heavily on my shoulders.
Mm.
It began to infect my heart and infect my mind as well. And so there was one day, it was during the summer, and I came home from my summer job, and I felt like there was just no need to even be here anymore because I didn't feel like I was doing anything right for people. I felt like I was always being criticized or ostracized for different things. And so I walked out of my mom's house one day with every intention of killing myself. And I was going to do that. I did not want to do the traditional way or the popular, most popular way of suicide by taking pills or either shooting myself. But I decided that I was going to walk out and I was going to walk into the street and allow a car to just roll over me.
That's interesting.
And that day, for some reason, God would not allow a lot of traffic to come through on that road. And I walked and I walked and I walked that road. And the car that was coming was so slow, I promise you, if I had jumped in front of that car, I probably would have ended up totaling the car as opposed to the car totaling me.
Wow.
I said, okay, you know, this is just not going to work.
Mm.
And as I began to walk back towards my mom's house, I heard the voice of the Lord said, if you take your life now, you will never see what it is that I have prepared for you.
Wow. Wow. I am hoping with everything that's in me and praying that those who are listening feel that right there, because that is so powerful. I can attest to it myself. I know God will speak to you. He will ask you to hold on and to trust in him. And if you're listening right now and you think that you just can't, you physically can't, but if you yield it all over to him, you absolutely can. And he is one who keeps his promises. He does not lie. So I always say on the show, Romans 10:9-10, if you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's where it starts. That's where this relationship begins. And once you have that, he will guide you along step by step by step. As time is going so quickly, I wanted to know how God pulled you out of that. So when we return, I want you to just share with us how the Lord started to just draw you out and bring you out, not only of that situation, but also the college moments, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
That was Karen Clark shared, Can't Take It No More.
Wow.
You feel like laying down and dying, right? Just all the pressures hitting you. But what I love about that song is the shift that comes at the end where it says, take a little more, because God hears you and he loves you. And that's where we left off with you. You know, you're coming back home after this successfully failed attempt at suicide, and God speaks to your heart. And just repeat for us again what he said to you.
He said to me, if you take your life now, you will never see what I have prepared for you. Mm. And then that quickly took me to Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, where it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
Yes. Yes. So, okay, you go back in. Nothing's changed. You still have these things on your face. You still have to deal with, you got through it, you got through that, and then you get to college and you have these other challenges that you're facing. What is it that, and I'm sure as you have gone through many years of life, there are always obstacles. We can't ever get away from that. But what is it for you that pulls you back into focus where God is concerned and gives you that energy, that push to go another day?
When he spoke to me, that quickly changed my whole perception, because that let me know that he was still there. As I forestated, there was a relationship with him. There was a connection with him. And although I pulled myself away, he never pulled away from me. And so when he spoke to me, it began to shift some things within me. And so I began to speak over my own life, and I began to speak to my heart and to my mind, and I began to eradicate those negative thoughts that began to reside within my fiber. And once I began to speak to myself, because there were people that were still speaking negative to me, and so I didn't allow the negativity to affect me. I only allowed it to motivate me. And it made me push harder, because I then realized that I needed to show them who was over my life. I needed to show them that God was the captain of my life. I needed to prove them wrong. So it was a fight within me that I had to show people God's glory.
That's what it's all about. It's his glory, and we don't want to defeat that. We can't allow that to be limited. And so that means we have to allow him to take us through the course, through the paces, through the marathon journey to get to the place where bit by bit, step by step, his glory is being revealed through us in our lives. So here you are. Here's one example. If I get this right, you can clarify for me. You were the first black pharmaceuticalist in your county. Is that correct?
The first black African-American male pharmacist in my city of Utahville and surrounding areas. Yes.
And what year was that?
I actually graduated in 2004.
Wow. Can you believe that? 2004, and there's still room for first. There's still room available at the table for being the first African-American this or that, and that blows my mind. And we're at that place, but had you had given up, you wouldn't have seen that for sure.
And, exactly.
And that even ties back into our beginning where you you know, you have this 30th birthday and you're thinking about all these friends of yours that didn't make it. Can you share with us just briefly some of the reasons why some of your other friends didn't make it to 30? What were some of the challenges that they faced in their lives?
Some actually die from sickness. Some died from car accidents. Some died from gun violence. Those were the number of reasons why they didn't make it to the age of 30.
And so now you were encouraged to write a book because of all the things you had gone through yourself, and that book is entitled Life Experiences. And you cover some of what you shared with us already. What are some other, I don't want to say highlights, but big moments that you cover in the book?
Talk about, of course, the beginning, how I was raised and who I was raised by. I share about a time that I almost lost my mother. She almost died, and that was very hard to witness and sort of see her in the condition that she was in. I talk about some of my friends. I talk about a moment that when I was in middle school and was abused, approached by a substitute teacher in a very unwanting way during that time. And, you know, I cover that, and then I cover relationships as well.
Well-rounded.
Yes, there was definitely a shift in a major relationship that made me view things differently. So I really took people on a journey, and I was as transparent as I could possibly be, because I've learned that in transparency there is anointing. And when there's anointing, there are yokes that can be destroyed.
Wow. So usually, though, that's what we fear, right? Because if you take the issue of, you know, being abused at school, that's something that family may or may not have known happened. So here you are, you're an adult, you're expressing this. And did you go to mom and say, you know, I want to tell you this is something that happened? You know, did you approach it that way? Did you just kind of finish the book and then say, here, guys, read this. Tell me what you think. What was the approach in terms of dealing with it?
I didn't share any of those things with anybody prior to the book. So everything that everybody learned, even those that were with me from the day of birth, a lot of those things they learned from the book, because I never really expressed a lot. My expression was through music. And again, like I said, I would always find myself in a corner reading or something. That was my outlet, sort of speak. I didn't have an individual that I kind of poured into. So for them, it was very shocking to discover that I went through those things and I went through it alone.
Right.
Not alone, you know, but I mean, of course, God was there. But as far as a physical being, I went through it alone. And so people were amazed to discover that I went through those things, but still came out fine.
Better than fine, because God is still not done with you, right? You're still on the potter's wheel. You're still being spun and moved by him. And earlier in the show, I talked about all the different titles that we have for you, singer and actor and philanthropist. And the one that really stands out to me is, I would like to know, how does someone go from being a pharmacist to being an actor? How does that happen? Because I understand you always sung. You sung in the church. You love singing. That I get myself. But how do you make that leap from working behind the counter with, you know, medicine to standing in front of, you know, a camera?
Let me tell you how all of that unfolded. It was 1 year for my scholarship gala, and I received a voucher from Tyler Perry and Tyler Perry Studios, and the voucher was for someone to appear in one of his productions, whether it be the TV show that he was doing at the time or one of his movies, whatever the role called for and however, you know, the person would fit in, then they would fulfill that space.
Uh-huh.
And so we used that voucher as a silent auction item for my scholarship benefit.
Uh-huh.
And what they did was they called me and asked me to participate along with that individual.
Huh?
So my first time being in front of a camera on that level was from the opportunity that Mr. Tyler Perry gave. And I did an episode of Meet the Browns.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yes, and so then by doing that, my name got thrown into the pool that they have. You know, I guess there's a pool for actors. And then I was called to do Stump the Yard 2, Homecoming, the movie. So
wow.
I was an extra in that one. And so I began to get these opportunities. But I just kind of passed on a lot of them. And then last year I was given the opportunity to do a movie, which is called The Tree Widow.
Uh-huh.
And the movie is actually, well, it was written and directed by Allison Newman Mims. Allison Newman, she was in Julia with Diane Carroll. And she actually called me and asked me to be a part of this. And so, ironically, I play a doctor. The movie is about couples and their relationships and how we go through ups and downs and troughs. And my character, I play a doctor who's having some issues with his wife. And it's kind of interesting to see how it all unfolds. But definitely one of the greatest opportunities and one of the greatest blessings that God could ever give me. And so now we'll see where this is going to take me.
You know, I'm listening, and I'm wondering if those who are listening with me are thinking to themselves what I'm thinking. There are people who are scratching and clawing and doing everything they can to get to Mr. Tyler Perry. And you were just kind of, the Holy Spirit just took you, walked you right in the door and said,
yes,
here, why don't you try your hand at this? And, you know, you were open and willing to it. And on top of everything that you're doing, and I know you will continue to do, there's this extra avenue and venue, and I hope you realize, and I believe you realize, that this level of exposure is for something greater, right? It's not the exposure itself. It's not just being in the movie, but it is what that will do for your ability to continue your philanthropy work, for your ability to continue to get your message out there and to continue to encourage and inspire others as an example that says, look what God can do in a life that thought there was no value and was ready to end it all. And it's just so amazing and so encouraging to hear what you've shared. Now, I know that you said you had a special announcement, and I want to make sure we have time for that. So why don't you tell us what it is?
Well, I do. But
not quite yet?
Yeah. Not quite yet.
Okay, that's all right. We will make sure that we make it live and post it when the time comes. But just to take a step back, and, you know, we're just sharing about your friends that never made it to that point, all the difficulties that you went through, your family reading about it when they read the book, and I'm sure the reactions were great. But two things. One is you talked about the anointing that comes with that. There's a moment where you know, you have them read the book, and you might have been on pins and needles. I would have been. When did this the anointing that comes with that transparency, when did that realization hit you?
That realization actually hit once the book came out. And that came because people, young and old, began to walk up to me. They made phone calls to let me know that they too had experienced a number of the experiences that I endured and that they had never shared with anybody themselves. And so they told me that from reading it, they were able to, number one, deal with the issue head on because they had never dealt with it. They began to suppress the thoughts of it. And so now they were able to deal with it so that they could overcome it and be totally healed from it. And so for me, that was definitely overwhelming to hear those stories from, again, the young and the old, particularly the old, because I never would have thought that the book would have affected them in the manner that it did.
Wow.
And so that let me know that this was all predestined by God, because everything that we do in life, it should affect someone in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful that Life Experiences was able to do that.
Well, I'm going to get my hands on this book. I'm definitely going to make it a read for before 2014 is over. I'm definitely going to get that in my hands. I want you to share a closing word with anyone who's listening, who's in that crunch time. They're being squished between their reality and where their dream is. And they're thinking about giving up. They're thinking about retreating and going back to that comfort zone. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that our dreams are only seeds of potential. The watering happens when we wake up in order to make the dream live. There's no excuse for any of us. No one knows it all. No person gets it automatically.
Okay.
But throughout life, there will always be something that you as an individual can learn, but no one can teach you unless you are willing to learn.
Mm.
If someone is trying to guide you through the everyday process of life, take the information, extrapolate from it what needs to be taken out, but continue to plant a seed. But after you've planted that seed, make sure that you water it. Make sure that you care for it. Make sure that you give it the nutrients it requires so that the tree of knowledge can continue to grow. But most importantly, love yourself enough to learn from others. Always position yourself to be able to learn something.
That's powerful, and it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I read a short little quote today that said, your network, with a K, network, actually determines your net worth, T-H,
yes.
Your net worth. Because if you are only encircled around your peers, you will never be able to excel to the level that you want to go. You've got to put yourself in that grouping. You've got to find a way to ask the questions to get there. And it takes, but that's what God uses. God works with faith. That's what he can turn around. I would like you to share with us, where can we find out more about you, your book, and the scholarship fund?
Thank you. You can find out more about me. I'm always on Facebook trying to provide words of inspiration. You can find me at Maurice A. Lee, or you can go to my website, which is Maurice A. Lee, L-E-E, .net. You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. DrMalee, as well as on Instagram. My foundation, more information you can find at maleescholarship.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing with us. I feel like there's so much more that we could tap into, but you know what? There was a good lump of dose of medicine right in here. So your pharmaceutical skills were definitely still right in here, because there was medicine given tonight, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Don't let yourself down. Be your own best hero, and know that in the midst of it all, God is going to be there to see you through.